Hey, welcome to Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen, plus a couple of tribe members.
My name is Jay. Tribe with Colleen and friends.
My name is Jay.
I'm Colleen.
I'm Bitter.
I'm Tim.
I'm Shandy.
Yeah, that's right, Shandy. And I'm bringing up the rear. I'm the other Jay, the less famous Jay, but it's all good.
The better Jay. That's how I refer to you.
The more famous in the Survivor community, Jay.
That's true. That's true.
That's debatable, but, you know, we'll go with it.
It's like two different neighborhoods. Jay's famous in the old neighborhood that's been around for a while. And, well, I guess actually you're both famous in old neighborhoods, huh?
We're two different sides of the street. Different sides of the street.
Yeah. Basically, if you podcast, you want your name to be Jay.
Well, no, actually, it's funny. In our house, we refer to Jay Fisher as the better Jay. I think, I don't know, maybe it's just, I'm just not that good.
We also refer to him as Bay. Ironically, as he is not my husband.
Anyways, we are here to do a special joint Survivor podcast because we all kind of wanted to talk about it some more.
Let's be honest. Jack couldn't let go of the fact that Aubrey lost and was like, I got to do another podcast. And I was like, well, who else can I sucker into talking about this with you?
I've gotten over it. I can admit the jury was wrong.
Can I just say though that I like beyond like just the Michelle truthers and them trying to spin that Michelle played this amazing game. Just say she got lucky. Can we just say she got lucky?
It's like someone trying to sell me a house that's been torn down. Oh, it's a beauty.
I want to hear what Jay Fisher has to say because he did not get to record with me the other night.
Oh God, putting me on the spot.
I am.
I see how that goes. I mean, it's tough because how many seasons of Survivor is this now? It's 32 seasons. And yeah. I think that a lot of people out there try to analyze Survivor just like a sport or something. And it doesn't quite work because there's the show and then there's the TV product and they're not quite the same. And so we get sort of a story that may not actually be the story and this, that, and the other. And it's like, you know, whoever wins Survivor probably deserved to win. But what is the quote of deserved? Does that mean they played the best? Did they do the most things? It was like Michelle probably got incredibly lucky with a lot of things that went her way. She probably made some luck. But at the end of the day, even though we saw Aubrey play a really good game, she made some very crucial mistakes that cost her the million.
I totally get that. Totally support that. And I'm not saying she doesn't deserve it because if you win, you deserve to win. It's the truthers that are just like, you know, it's this style and it's proven to work and, you know, just as the next generation of Survivor play. I'm like, come on.
Well, like I've been maintaining, because Alice, who is another Treb co-host, is not here, graciously thanked us, Michelle Truthers, because she said it prepared her for the inevitable because she was really rooting for Aubrey. And then when the votes came up, Michelle, she said that she was already prepared. So I think that all of you Aubrey fans need to thank those of us.
I'm not even necessarily an Aubrey fan. I'm just, for me, it's like if the edit has to show like random things this person did to just to keep giving screen time so that it makes her win relevant. It's like,
that's what they have to do. Because if they did nothing at all.
Well, plus, I think
you'd be like, who is this girl that's coming out of nowhere?
But at least it would have been a shocker.
No, they're telling a story. They told the story. They did their job.
I hate to say this, but when Jay was talking, I got booted out, so I have no idea what he said.
It wasn't that important.
Which is probably for the best.
I mean, so...
Well,
go ahead, Shandy.
I mean, you can talk about the edit, and you can talk about... did she really do things, or did they have to try to insert, you know, confessionals or whatever of Michelle to remind us she was there and to convince us that she was doing things? And I think that comes back to the whole question of editing that gets talked about a lot. And I think that Michelle, like, her strength was her social game, and we saw that time and time again. And as we've said before, and as a lot of people have said before, that's kind of the harder part to show. It's not as flashy. It's not the big, like, idol plays and things like that. It's much more subtle. I always maintain that the editors probably could, if they really wanted to, show that a little bit more. But I think that they did try to show us that. It's just not... it's not as in your face. And I think that Survivor is a game where the social game is maybe the most important part, because you need to be managing your jury and you need to make sure that once you do get to the end, however you get there, the jury's not pissed at you. Because bitter jury or not, those jurors are only bitter if you made them bitter. So I think that, you know, she's definitely deserving, and it's just maybe more difficult to show sort of what she did.
Shady, I think I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit there. I don't think the editors really could show something if something's not there. Also, you know, this season, like, the editors at a huge disadvantage because they had to service, you know, Mark the Chicken. I mean, Mark the Chicken needed so much airtime that how could they show any more of Michelle? I mean, yeah, enough of Michelle. I needed, you know, I could have used another two episodes of Mark focused story.
I do want to point out that I think the edict did say that Mark the Chicken was going to make it to the final tribal council. I mean, he was complex.
OTTP.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
But, that means over the top positive for anybody that doesn't know that.
All I can say is, and this will probably hurt Colleen, Stephen Crimea River Fishbeck agreed about Michelle not winning. She shouldn't have won. He agreed.
But you can't. How can you ever say that?
And he should know, right?
I'll be honest. I said on our podcast, she won, and I'd rather have. I go, it wouldn't be the game I would play. I go, I'd play the game, but I would play. I go, I'd rather win her way, win $1 million, than lose the way Aubrey did. And not win $1 million.
Well,
so she won. She gets the credit.
Wait, what were you going to say, Tim?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, I just wanted to say, Jack, now, you know, again, I listened to some like other podcasts and interviews with the cast members, and I actually listened to Kyle Jason Kyle interview.
We don't do that in this side of town.
And yeah, well, I'm going to bring that over.
He's confusing enough.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah. So, you know, the great bounty hunter himself, I listened to a extended interview with him, and he addressed like a majority of the questions was, why did you vote for Michelle instead of Aubrey? And can you still hear me?
Just keep going. Yeah. Jack comes back.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. And so the majority of, all the questions was like, why did you vote for Michelle and not for Aubrey? And he basically said was, Aubrey's game that he saw watching the TV show, they didn't see out there on the island. What they saw was they interpreted Aubrey's game was, I have Joe, I have an extra vote. And that's what they thought was her game. And so even after the final tribal council, they still felt like, well, she didn't really play the game. And Kyle Jason said that had I to vote again, having seen the show, I would vote Aubrey and not Michelle.
Now,
okay,
here's
what I'm. Wait. Let me finish because I have a thought. Julia said the same thing. I haven't heard Scott say that, so I think this is a year later. They see who won was by Survivor fans was not overwhelming on their side. Could it possibly have been? They said, all right, we better go back, and because all they need to do is see that video of how they treated Sydney when she came back to Ponderosa. That was a bitter, bitter jury. They were upset that they got voted off. This was part of Jason and Scott's scorcher's policy. You're not voting our way. We're going to take our machetes. We're taking the tools. We're taking the food. We're pouring out water on the fire. They wanted to control the game. They thought they were controlling the game. They played a terrible game. And they wanted to dictate who won, and they were sending a message to Aubrey: "Don't mess with us anymore."
Yeah.
Well, is that the shoving in the geeks in the locker? Yeah, was there a little bit of jock bias for Aubrey?
I don't care what they're saying now. I saw their actions at the time, and at the time it was bitter, and they're just trying. I'm sure they got PR people, especially Scott. He has an agent. Hey, you better have kind of politicians do this all the time. actors do this all the time. They put something on Twitter that, oh, you better backtrack, you better do this. What they did is far greater than what they're saying now. I'm sorry. They were a bitter jury.
Well,
the one I blame most is Debbie, because she was bitter because she said, oh, I wouldn't, I wasn't, she, when she first gets voted out, I'm not bitter. She was completely bitter that she got voted out. She knew the game Aubrey was playing, and she still didn't vote for her.
But isn't that on Aubrey? Isn't that on how Aubrey handled the situation and her read of those people and how they would react? I mean, that's just it. Like, you're thrown into this situation with a bunch of different personalities, and you have to, it's going to be a different game every time because it's a different cast every time. It's different individuals. Well, and some people are going to react differently to different things. And your job as a player is to be able to deal with that and successfully get to the end and not piss off those people.
And there's also actually what is somewhat telling, and I'm trying to find it. It's from ZLS that Cameron posted a quote from Joe when they're on the reward challenge, and I've been trying to search for it while you guys are talking, but I don't know the exact wording, so I can't find it.
He said, "I can't poop."
That's true. He did say, "I can't poop." drop the mic. But he
can
did
we say poop.
We can. We can we say can. Poop's I one
said,
of the approved
I
words.
Said that. You can say up to crap. Also, this is PG-13, so whoever gets that first F-bomb, that's done.
Let's try to avoid the first F-bomb. How about that?
Why would we want to avoid the first F-bomb?
There's a kid in the car, and then that's going to be the first word they say, and that's on you.
Oh, here it is. I just found it.
The F-bomb?
No. Joe says at the reward... Joe says this to Aubrey, "You have a lot of enemies, but I think everyone knows how tough you are. You orchestrated a lot of stuff. Being social like I was isn't going to get you anywhere." And she ended up losing because of her social game. So even her closest ally did not see her as playing a social game.
Here's my rebuttal. Because like Shandy said, each tribe, each season is different. I get that. But one person had to play a certain way. One person had to she had to change the game because she was on the bottom. Once she lost,
Neil.
Once Neil went home, if Neil wouldn't have gone home, she would have been gone. She had to make moves. She had to cut people off because she was fighting for her life. One person didn't go to tribal council for 24 days. She didn't have to vote anybody off. She didn't have to make any enemies.
One person didn't go to tribal council in season 31 for like 26 days.
We're talking about this game. She didn't have to vote anybody. She never had to make any enemies. She didn't have to. I could play a great social game if I didn't have to vote anybody out.
But don't forget,
voted out her greatest
ally. I was just going to say.
But she went with the majority. That's not like her making some move.
But
she was going with where the...
Well, my turn.
Go ahead.
In Aubrey's first tribal council that she... Or her second tribal council, rather. Like, the Liz vote was pretty much orchestrated by Debbie. But the one that before then, Aubrey didn't make herself any friends with that Julia vote when Peter got voted out. Like she didn't handle that correctly back at camp, and that's all a part of jury management.
Sure.
Again, you know that you're dealing with people that are literally the definition of adult babies.
You need to learn how to
adapt and play to
Michelle to be won with because them. There was a bunch of babies. They're first time players. They're not looking for the things that returning players would look for. Maybe people that are less, you know, self involved, but Michelle wouldn't have gotten to the end if other people didn't have blood on their hands. Sydney and Aubrey weren't playing the game like they were playing the game to win the game and make
but
moves.
But I think that but Sydney would have won.
Michelle
if she
never
went
had to
end.
Make a move, and I guess she voted for Julia. But Aubrey was going after Julia for like ever. She just went with the tide, which again is smart. And she was a horrible player.
The Jane Jack side is monopolizing this. Bay Fisher, what do you think?
Where do you want me to start?
The beginning. It's a very good place to start.
So Darnell got booted off on
because he pooped.
Because he pooped.
The circle of poop.
He didn't want to be medevac out for not being able to poop.
I'd like to just point out, I guess it's my obligation as a survivor historian to say, kind of funny to say that, you know, in returning seasons, they're looking for something different, whereas in Survivor All-Stars, they literally did not want to hand Boston Rob $1 million.
That's true.
They literally did not want to hand Parvati and Russell $1 million in Heroes versus Villains.
That's true.
Like, you know, I think that a lot of times All-Star seasons are extremely vengeful as far as that goes. And that's not on anybody to go. I think something that hurt Aubrey that I don't know if people talked about it because, honestly, I don't listen to podcasts, which makes me a terrible human being.
It makes you probably have a lot more time than the rest of
us. Well, I listen to podcasts, but I don't listen to Survivor podcasts.
It's cool.
That's okay.
You don't poop where you eat?
Yeah. There's some of that. Crap where I poop, or, you know.
whoa, it's pushing the edge.
Whoa. I think something that hurts Aubrey in a lot of ways is that we had three medevacs in this season. One of them was Caleb, who cares? The other ones were Joe and were Neil.
Caleb.
Both jury members and both super allies of Aubrey. And if Aubrey goes to the end and she goes to end with perhaps Michelle, who maybe she could beat in some other world where there weren't medevacs, you know, Aubrey voted out Scott, voted out Kylo Ren, voted out all of these people. But, like, she would probably have had to have voted out Neil and Joe along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you know, when they get to Ponderosa, that's something that everyone has to mull over, is that if they see that Aubrey is orchestrating a vote to get Scott out and maybe a vote to get Kylo Ren out, but then also orchestrated a vote to get out Neil, to get out Joe, her closest allies. Sort of like the when everyone's saying, well, Michelle cut Julia in some way, or at least voted with the majority to oust her best friend. Aubrey never got a chance to do that this game. So literally everybody that Aubrey orchestrated to vote out was not a main alliance partner of hers to begin with. And
right.
All of her alliance partners that got voted out didn't get voted out. They left. And so she didn't have
Except
a crucial
Debbie.
Part of her resume. So when they got to the end, as Tim was talking earlier, where they were like, we didn't see her game because she never had to make any sort of personal moves. She just made a lot of moves to cut out other people that she was sort of opposing. And I think that created a big imbalance, you know, and sort of a cacophony in the minds of Scott and Jason and them, because they were like, well, she didn't have to do anything super personal because, well, they all got medevaced.
So flip that real
That's
quick.
That's a good point, though.
Flip that real quick. Do you think if Sydney got to the end, would they have respected that?
No.
I don't know.
Well,
I think,
again,
okay.
I say no because I've seen the Ponderosa video.
And right. I disagree because I truly think that Sydney would have won if she had gotten to the end instead of Aubrey. And I made this argument on the Tribe last night, but I broke down the votes. And if anybody's interested.
That out, by the way.
What? You edited that out?
I edited it out.
Did you really? That was like this. I was there for 20 minutes out of a 3-hour episode. That was the smartest thing I said, and you cut that
Colleen,
out of your ears?
He didn't edit it out.
Okay.
Don't worry.
She's so gullible.
Well, you know what? I got on there, and they were like, Colleen, you refreshed the fantasy page too early. You didn't win the league. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me right now? I did, though. They were trolling me.
Did you win the golden shandy?
I did, which is still at John Norton's house.
Oh.
Sadly.
I feel like you get an extra year just for the...
Seriously.
But Colleen, to interrupt you for just a second, and to go back to Jack's point, I watched that Ponderosa also, and I felt like they would, you know, Scott, Julia, and, you know, Jason wouldn't even look at Sydney when she got there. And so I'm like, on the recording of the Tribe, I'm like, oh, there's no way. But then I listened to this interview with Jason, and Jason said, oh yeah, I would have probably voted for Sydney. He's like, Scott for sure would not have voted for Sydney, but I would have, because I had a really deep relationship with her that was formed early on in the game until she flipped on them.
Yeah, is that a little bit of fan service, though?
It was so deep that when she came to Ponderosa, I ignored her.
Because he was pissed. Right. He was mad.
I went out of my way to ignore her.
Revisionist history.
A year later.
Sorry.
But we can't really speak to whether or not he's lying because, I mean, he was mad in the moment. Doesn't excuse what he did, but he could be telling the truth now that a year has passed that he's calmed down.
But that's the moment we're talking about.
Right, and now it's obsolete.
Vote was a few days later. Well, I don't think he would have grown up by then.
So here's what I think why one of you doesn't have headphones in because I'm echoing.
No, you're just talking so loud that you're breaking space-time.
Am I really?
It probably wouldn't be the first time.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, there's sometimes I can be on the basement floor, and our studio's on the third floor, and I can hear Colleen when she's recording The Tribe.
we get rowdy.
I get excited.
But no, Shandy, you were going on a topic. I at least want to let you kind of expand upon.
Yeah, let's Shandy finish hers, and then I'm going to make my case for why Sydney would have won. Go ahead.
I think we're done with Colleen's why Sydney would have won.
We're not.
Don't worry, we'll edit this out later.
I mean,
we don't edit.
I'm kidding.
It's, you know, like anything that they say today for me is like totally doesn't matter. It's just like you're saying, Jack, it's a year later. They've seen the edited version of what happened. So they've seen confessionals and things that they weren't privy to at the time. They've seen the fan reaction. They've seen all these things. So it really, to me, does not matter. It's however they were acting at the time. That's what I think would have happened. I haven't actually watched the Ponderosa video yet, but I don't get the feeling that they would have voted for Sydney. I think that they were, I mean, from the day that she voted against them, she was dead to them, essentially.
They never tried to work with her again.
Yeah.
I was saying that for weeks. I go, why don't they go back and work with Sydney? They play. Can we just say, and I'll say this, the women on this season were far better and far smarter than the men.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not even, I'm not saying that for any, but they were just.
You're just trying to make people think that you're not sexist, right?
No, I
love, that's like, that's the Trump response. I love women. Women love me.
The woman that put me over the edge, she was a superdelegate.
But serious. The men in the show were terrible. I mean, some of them, we don't know how Caleb would have played. Neil seemed like he was a smart
player. Bad, we do. Bad. Big Brother, he was awful.
But could he have evolved a little bit?
No.
He was friends with Ty. But, you know, you have Jason was terrible. Scott was terrible. I mean, you could go on. And I mean, Nick seems like a good strategic player, and I like him more after the game than during the game. But
I just like his Twitter and his man beard.
He's better looking with the beard.
I like that you have to specify that it's a man beard.
I want to bring up another point, too.
Let me go
to why Sydney would have won.
Okay. And I want to know what I know that I want to know what you guys think. Mainly, I want to know what Jay thinks. The other Jay, not you, Jay, because I know
the Jay that matters.
The Jay that doesn't matter is going to disagree with me out of principle. And I only respect the Jay that matters.
AKA hashtag not my husband.
I mean, she kind of has a point there.
I think when you break it down, here's why Sydney would have won. I truly think that Debbie would have voted for Sydney. So you know that you have. I agree
with that.
Let's say that Michelle.
Let her finish her thought before we interject.
It's not done yet.
No.
Let's just say that Michelle won the final challenge thingy and she voted out a juror. I think that Michelle would have voted out Aubrey as the juror.
Was she a rare juror?
She was a rare juror. Yes. I think that she would have voted out Aubrey because I think that she would have known that Aubrey would have been a guaranteed vote for Sydney. So I think, and Aubrey's smart and she might have been afraid of her for the same reason she was afraid of Neil. So let's take Aubrey out of the equation. Neil's there. I think Neil votes for Sydney. I think Nick votes for Sydney. And they've actually, somebody said in an interview, actually, maybe Tim or Shandy know what I'm talking about, where they said that Nick and Neil definitely would have voted for Sydney if she had made it to the end. So we have them.
So they say a year later?
If Sydney had made it. Nick and Neil didn't have a problem with her.
Oh, no, but I'm still saying, like, this is what they're saying a year later. So
that if Sydney had made it to the end, they would have voted for Sydney.
Yeah, I read that article on callrights.com. So I don't know about the source.
Anyway, three votes there. I think you had Nick, Neil, and Debbie would have voted for Sydney, right? I think you would have had Joe's vote because Aubrey had said that she would have voted for Sydney. And that there must have been an interview with Aubrey then, that if it had been reversed, that must have been what I read, that they had definitely, she had Joe. So we have four votes right there that I think would have definitely gone for Sydney. So that's four to the other three little babies. And I think that Sydney would have won because I think she would have pulled over. Debbie was hurt and bitter against what Aubrey did to betray her. She was closer with Aubrey. Sydney was close with Debbie, but Sydney wasn't close with Aubrey the way that Aubrey was. So I think that Sydney would have gotten those four votes from those four people. We know that she had whatever Aubrey said to Joe, Joe would have voted for Sydney, Nick, Neil, and Debbie. And those are her four. And the others could have been babies. And they can say now that they would have voted for Sydney, even if they didn't at the time. She didn't need their three votes. So that's why I do think that Sydney would have won if she had made it to the end. Drop the mic. Don't even bother to respond because I'm right.
You did want to know the Jay that matters opinion.
That's true.
But what if it was Sydney, Aubrey, Michelle?
Well, we saw that.
It couldn't be because of the fire challenge. It's either Sydney or Aubrey in the final.
Okay.
Come on, you guys have to agree with me on that.
All right, Jay, that matters. What do you think?
You made a good case on that.
Thank you.
I can't necessarily say that you are wrong, Call. I can't necessarily say that you're right. I think that
you could have stopped at the first sentence.
Well, the problem with Sydney is that I think that no matter what, you have to basically say that the three bronze are not going to vote for her.
Right.
So in a seven-person jury, she's already spotting three. And, hey, it's been done before. Brian Heidick spotted three right off the bat in Thailand, still won. And that's okay. But she has to clean sweep everybody else on that jury, which she could possibly do. I'm not saying that she couldn't do it, but it's a tough road.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody was voting for Ty.
Well, no one's voting for Ty.
Exactly. So I can't.
It's Sydney or it's Michelle, right?
Right.
So, you know, the three bronze are voting Michelle, and you made a case for why all of them would vote Sydney. But like I'm saying, if just one of them doesn't, then you know, Sydney basically has a hard three against her, which
I question whether Nick would vote for her.
Nick had told them at the time, this is what Michelle herself said, that Nick wanted to vote for the person that he felt played the best game, and he had maintained that even in Ponderosa. And that was, Michelle even knew that, I think, before she even left, that Nick was not going to vote for her.
Mm-hmm. But Michelle played the best game, I thought.
Nick didn't think, though. Five people thought that Michelle played the best game, but Nick didn't.
I don't even necessarily think that they thought Michelle played the best game. I mean, that's not the criteria for a final vote.
Fair enough.
But shouldn't it be, though, when the game's called Outwit, Outplay, Outlast?
No.
Because Outplay?
No. It's
playing
really
the game.
Because you had the human factor.
Which trumps everything else at the end of the day.
That's the beauty and the curse of Survivor, in the sense that, and that's why it's hard to analyze it like a sport, in the sense that it's not on the jury to have any sort of criteria with their vote. I mean, literally, it's just you're voting for someone who's going to win the game and win $1 million. There's no checklist. There's no criteria. There's no sort of space. They just literally go up there and write who they want to win $1 million or who they don't want to win $1 million and vote for the other person. So it's tough because we sit here and analyze and go, this person did this and this person did this and this person did this and this person deserves. And we start getting that deserve word. And it's like, it may not go to the person who, in theory, played the best game or deserves it. It just went to the person that the jury liked better and wanted to win $1 million, which is infuriating at times, i.e. this season, like Survivor Marquesas, like Survivor Samoa, like Survivor Heroes versus Villains to some. Like, you know, and I don't really have a problem with any of those. I love Sandra. I love Vesepia. I love a lot of people. But, you know, we've seen seasons. We've seen this before where people have gone to the end. The jury's like, I don't really know who to vote for. Survivor Marquesas, I thought, was a great example. The jury was just like, Nalia or Vesepia? Oh, my God. What do we do? And, you know, and then
to
also,
Nalia's Twitter 10 years later, and you're like, all right, we made the right choice.
It's almost like this current election we have going on now.
Right. In a way, I mean, that's how it goes. And then also sometimes Survivor has stories that don't make a whole heap of sense. If you watch Survivor Amazon, you know, the story of Survivor Amazon was Rob C was doing really well in the game, and he taught Matt, crazy Matt, how to play the game. And then Matt just swerved everyone at the end and just did some brilliant gameplay. And then we get to the final vote, and Jenna wins 6-1 because they were like, we were never going to give crazy Matt $1 million. And you're like, but that's not what I saw on the TV and the thing. But the thing, But, you know, and we all kind of left Survivor Amazon going, that was a nice season, but I'm a little unsatisfied at what happened at the end. But that's what happened, you know, and right. And in this right. case.
Hashtag fallen angel.
I think, well, the thing with, I have one sentence, Shandy, and I swear to God, no, I'm going to shut up again. The thing with, you know, the juries at the end of the day is you want to make them like you enough to not vote you off and like you enough to give you a vote at the end.
Well, yeah. Absolutely. And that's where it goes back to. I think the social part is probably the most important aspect of the game, because just like you were saying, Jay, like it at the end of the day, it like there's no criteria. It's just what every juror thinks. So you want to make sure that they like you. And then what is the most deserving winner? Like, is it somebody who had a couple of splashy moves, or is it somebody who was consistently on really good terms with everyone and could get along with everyone for 39 days? Like, you know, whoever ends up winning for that season, that was the best gameplay and that was the best way to do it.
Can I say something that I've not said on a podcast and I've actually really wanted to say for a long time?
Ooh, exclusive. Ooh.
No, it's not it's not exclusive, but it's something that
hashtag.
And ironically, it's not going to go back to Survivor One World. I'm actually going to go back a couple of seasons previous to that.
You can't speak if you don't go back to One World.
I know, right? But I'm going to go back a couple seasons previous and go to Survivor Redemption Island, which is a season that not a lot of people enjoy. And I get it, because it was just a curb stomp by Rob Mariano going all the way to the end. Yet at the same time, you know, what we saw on the TV was we saw Rob basically just dictate his terms to everyone out there. And he marched all the way to the end and he overwhelmingly got the jury vote. And everyone was kind of using the Rob's zombies thing, and everyone was a sheep and no one really wanted to challenge Rob, and they weren't free thinkers and all that sort of stuff. And that was the story that was shown on the TV. But if you remember, I think it was a moment during the reunion, and I believe it was Andrea that said it, where she went, Rob and I built furniture for a day out there. Like, they took logs and sticks and, you know, they built like island crafted chairs and stuff. And she's like, Rob spent an entire day with me doing what I wanted to do. I wanted to build these chairs out of whatever. And Rob sat with me and built these things with me and talked to me about my family. And it was just this a couple sentences that she said, and then Jeff Probst summarily moved on because reunions are a joke. But
you think it helped Rob, though, being his fourth time?
Well, of course it did. But the thing is that it's something that we didn't see, in the sense that everyone's just like, well, right. I guess Rob dominated, we've been to the end. But it's like Rob took care of everybody out there. Not just took care of jury members, but just took care of everybody, period. Made everybody feel nice, did what they wanted, listened to them. Did he care? Probably not. But he showed those aspects. And I think that that's something that they like as Shandy was saying, it may not be flashy and it may not be something that people like to show on TV. And I think that a lot of modern Survivor, we're in this sort of modern Survivor era where everyone's talking about moves and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And so when people watch the show, they're like, that's what I have to do when I go out there on the island. And it's like, yeah, partially. But really what you have to do is you have to be nice to people and do things for people and take an interest in them. And it's something that doesn't necessarily get shown on TV, but it's something that you probably should do that will help you out later on down the line.
No, I agree completely. And that's where I think it does have to be a balance of both. Like, to me, the best player has to have a balance of both. Like, where I thought Jeremy had a great balance of both. Tony, maybe not so much. But to me,
yet like, I like Tony better.
But or Kim, I think, had a great balance of both to a certain degree. So,
well, Kim actually literally did stomp over everybody.
She did. I mean, again, it was. But I think it's a balance of both. To me, Michelle played a great social game, but she didn't really actually have to orchestrate any moves. So I feel like there should be a bit of both. But to Jay's point, sometimes it just doesn't happen that way. And to me, I'm not bitter watching the show, and I thought it was still a great season. The winner does not dictate a fun season or a season that I really enjoy by any stretch of the imagination. To everybody's point, Heroes and Villains, one of the favorite seasons, and arguably the best player didn't win that season. I know. Hashtag poverty for life. I thought, you know, that's my pick, but
she didn't win, so she didn't play the best game. She made mistakes in the game.
Stop
Otherwise,
it.
She would have won.
I get why she didn't win, but she was the better of the three. But that's just me.
No, I think Sandra was, but okay. Continue.
Can I say I agree with both Jays? I agree 100%. You have to play the social game.
I'm going to save that. Clip.
Yeah, well, more the other Jay than you, but you said some things. Kind of made sense. No, you have to play the social game, and that's a big. And Rob's a kind of a likable guy. I mean, it's easy for him. They were in awe of him, though. They were like, "Oh my God, this is Rob." But going to this game, I still say Michelle played a great social game because that's all she had to do. She didn't have to do anything else. But beside that, let's go to Ty. Ty got no votes, none. Everybody out there said they loved Ty. Everybody. And he worked, and everyone I've heard say, nobody worked harder than Ty. Nobody. From the time he woke up to the time he was the first one up, first one to go to bed, he was feeding us, he was doing this. So hard work, busting your butt, being nice to everyone gets you
and
no
I think,
votes.
I
so
think
we don't recognize hard work at all.
Well, I think unfortunately for Ty, like I think there was a language barrier there, and I think it's like that people like when he's trying to convey his ideas, there's a certain part where and unfortunately I think that language barrier kind of hurt him in the end, which stinks.
But we're going Michelle won because it's a great social game. Ty gets no votes, and he's the hardest worker out there. I realize Survivor is not about hard work because you see a lot of times the laziest person wins, but. Yep. No, not one vote. Not one vote for the hard worker. What are we saying to our young people out there? just be nice.
What are we telling the kids? Jack, you're gonna love Gen Xers versus Millennials. I think
I was just gonna say that. I feel like
I can't wait to see it. What are you talking about?
Oh my God! But although
no, I just said it's not one vote, not one person. But I agree. Like people said, Shandy said, everyone said, Michelle won. She deserves a win because she won. I would not have voted for her. She was low on my list. Sydney, Aubrey, Julia, I thought played a better game. She just didn't make it because she lined herself with two crazy people. There are much better players. I would have voted for Ty over her. There was just other players out there. I know, but again, I also said in our podcast, if I was in the game and she was being nice to me, and I'm hanging out with Jason and Julia and Scott and we're drinking every night. Oh yeah, because I think they were drunk at the final tribal council, and so maybe I'm drunk too. And I go, oh, that's right. I'm voting for Michelle because she was so nice. And I get home, I go a year later, what was I thinking? that could have been
the child you birthed 9 months later.
Jay said,
"What did I do?"
RJ said,
I just got that.
I've lost my point now. But Jay said, you did say something, Jay.
I don't think you had a point.
were you just like...
He was just an old man yelling
at
the
clouds. No, he was Michael Scotting it. He started the sentence hoping to find it, but, you know, as he was going through it, he just didn't find it.
You had said something I agreed with.
So this can we talk about a topic that was promised by Colleen in her Facebook post? But did the Michelle Truthers ruin this season of Survivor for people?
Oh, that's what I was going to say. This was a great season because at the end we had four people and I didn't know who was going to win.
Well,
and that's a successful season. I don't have to.
All right, so that's Jack's opinion. Jay, that matters. What's your opinion?
Unless I was watching the winner's edit, which I wasn't. So
I don't know. I feel like
Jay
feel
is
like
in line with me on this because we both follow the edit.
It's tough because I think that people don't understand quite the winner's edit. I think people just throw that out there, and I don't think Edgick's always right. Edgick gets things wrong all the time.
Right,
but. You know, to look for a quote unquote winner's edit, you have to sort of look at some of the Edgick stuff because some of it sort of makes sense. But really, it's just you have to follow the storyline of a season. Survivor is very paint by numbers in a lot of ways, even though, as Shandy has pointed out, each season is unique and different, and the characters are unique and different, and the setting and the situations are all unique and different. There's a couple of things when you're watching the show. There's a couple of characters or key plots that always manifest themselves. You always need to have a narrator, and the narrator can be one person or it can be a couple of people like working in tandem in different parts, but you always have to be very cognizant of who's narrating at this moment. There's always usually a buffoon that we make fun of. There is the winner at some point, and then there is a contender slash goat, just someone who goes to the end and doesn't win, which they could be a threat in some ways, or they could be totally a not threat. And then there's someone that usually is going on a journey. Someone has the journey sort of, I'm growing, I'm learning about myself sort of thing. And it's like, the problem is that Aubrey sort of became the de facto narrator of the season as we went along. She was also our journey character.
Yeah, I was just going to say, she had the both, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, you know, and that's always, it gets tough. Aubrey served many things, which is why I think she was a very popular person for all of us to watch on the show, because she was our narrator, she was a journey character, And she also was the legitimate contender, right? Like, she went to the end and she was the other one that got votes, right? So she was all of these things. And so you're looking at it and you're like, well, Aubrey's story has legs and she's going to go far and she's going on a journey and she's narrating the season. But at the same time, Michelle was getting almost as many confessionals as Aubrey. And the thing about Michelle's confessionals is that, you know, and this is where some of the edgic comes in and you have to kind of give it a nod. Everything Michelle did was painted in a very decent light, which if she's going to right. the end and losing, it seems very misguided in that sort of sense. And Michelle is not going on a journey, and Michelle is not narrating the season, and Michelle is, she's not serving all those other functions. So you have to look at all the confessionals that Michelle's getting where she's commenting on things that she's not even a part of in the game. And so you're like, they're clearly inserting her into this show. Why are they inserting her in there? And the only thing that you can come up with, and I sort of came up with it around the merge time, was I was like, oh, she wins. And, you know, it's not then I'm looking for things for her to win. I just was like, well, she's clearly going to be the winner because this is how they're shoehorning her in. And then, you know, as it went, that's what happened. And I don't know. The problem is that there are people that sort of look there, you know, Colin from the Dom and Colin podcast, you know, he reads storylines. A lot of people read storylines, and a lot of us just basically said, oh, geez, Michelle wins. And I remember, you know, talking to some people that I know, and I was just like, boy, it's pretty clear that they're shoehorning Michelle in for winning. And they're like, yeah. And then people sort of went on message boards, and it really sort of got out of control. Everyone
yeah,
was like,
that aspect yeah, of it, I Michelle. Think, was the thing.
Whoa,
yeah.
Michelle. And it's like, yeah, Michelle's probably going to win, but, you know, tone it down a little, guys.
Play it cool, guys. Play it cool.
I think that's the point I bring up, is like, it just became such a like a running theme,
right.
That it just
well,
became it overtook a lot of the discussion of the
forget,
whole season.
I think that the moment that really cemented it in a lot of people's minds was the hamburger confessional, right?
Yep.
Where it was like, why are they showing her talking about how great it was to win a hamburger over the guys? Like, why is this a thing? And I think that was the that was the thing that really there was no more ambiguity. Like, well, maybe, you know, it's a close vote
so
in the end. But
here's my question to the more esteemed members of this panel. Would it have been better for the edit just to kind of leave out these random things? That did it really paint a better picture for her? Or would it have been better just to kind of leave it out and let her still win?
No, because then you would have people, when they read five votes for Michelle, people would go, who?
It would
exactly.
have been
more shocking.
He's growing and learning.
It would have been an Natalie White situation all over
exactly.
again.
Exactly. We would have once again had a younger woman who played kind of an under-the-radar game that was a really strong social game that's not getting an edit whatsoever and is winning. And so I think it's good that they actually were showing us Michelle's confessionals and that they were reminding us that she was there, and they were showing us, and she had really good confessionals. They were showing us how smart
really
she was and how good at reading people she was, how good her...
I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm
her, like how
He's
her
trolling you, Shandy, because Tim is super quiet right now.
My favorite confessional of hers was when she was talking about Nick, if you guys remember, and when Nick was like kind of talking down to her and mansplaining to her. That confessional where she was like...
That I agree with that.
Yeah, like, and so that, like, they did, there were multiple confessionals like that, where she was, like, really sort of assessing the situation, and I really like that they put those in so that we had an idea. I mean, I think, like, just like you were saying, Jay, like, if you look at the editing, and I definitely don't do that as much as other people, I do not go on, ironically, like, I do not go on the message boards, except for, like, the couple of groups that I'm in because of podcasting, but I don't go on Survivor Sucks or anything like that, and I don't do the edgic or anything like that, but just like you were saying, there are these certain things that kind of pop up. You know, once you start watching enough times, there are things that you'll notice, and I think for me, one of the big things was we saw so much of Aubrey, and like, yes, she could have been like a Tony-esque winner, and that's maybe the asterisk that you have to put in there, but there were some
things...
We are
in a post-Bachlos era, you're right.
Exactly. So,
that's Jay's favorite phrase nowadays, is post-Bachlos era.
Yeah. It's possible, it was possible, but it was never something that I thought was probable, because we got some negative, we saw her in some negative light a couple of times.
Oh, yeah,
like where
absolutely.
She was crying, not knowing who to vote for.
Yep.
She was, you know, and I've said this before, like her sort of like overheating and hyperventilating at the beginning of the show. I don't think that necessarily showed that she couldn't be the winner. The problem is we got other sort of things like that later on. So
right.
for
and
me,
if
it
she
was
the winner, giant. Then her hyperventilating in the first episode, that would have been her journey. Like, that would have set up her journey arc if she had ended up winning in the end.
Right. You always have to remember, Mike Holloway ate a scorpion and got sick. It's okay.
If this was a tribe,
you
I would say.
You can rebound it.
You gotta have protein to survive out here.
If this was a tribe, I would say F Mike Holloway, but it's not, so I'll just say F Mike Holloway.
You gotta get that. I can't even do it. Gotta get that protein.
I'm doing it.
I'm gonna do the happy dance after I throw up.
I mean, it's one thing to have a scene like that towards the very beginning, like pre-merge, but it's another thing if you're getting a couple of other similar scenes like post-merge. And so that's, for me, that was when it was like, okay, Aubrey's like definitely probably not winning the game. And just like you were saying, Jay, we keep seeing Michelle. So if you're paying attention, you know, if you're not watching super casually, then you're noticing that Michelle keeps coming up. And so you have to say to yourself, okay, she's probably winning.
But again, if she's playing this great social game, like you can show scenes of her.
They should have.
But if they should, I think they would have if there was.
All right.
I disagree.
They film like crap. I do want some more of Tim's opinion because he's been quiet this whole time, and I don't appreciate
it.
Maybe is he getting his thirst quenched?
No, I was going to say maybe he's drinking.
I have to go and I have to go.
No. I'm listening. You guys brought on the tribe, and you brought on Shandy and Jay, who are like two of the smartest people on the tribe, and then you brought
me
on.
What about me?
Who is like, I'm like your guys' level of smart
F you, Timmy.
When it comes to Survivor. Thanks
for the compliment.
When I come on your when I guest on your guys' show, I'm like the Survivor historian compared to you guys. But but when I'm here with Jay and Shandy, it's like what I'll sit and listen to them. I'm learning a ton also. But to answer the question for me, as someone who did notice the winner's edit as well, was this season ruined? No, I think that really what. And I was thinking a lot of like, what's this season going to be like on a rewatch when we go back and we know 100% sure that Michelle is the winner, that there's no certainty. And for me, I think that this is a above average season because of the pre-merge game. I feel like the pre-merge game was extremely unpredictable. I felt like all of us who play in fantasy leagues lost our people early on in the game.
That's true. We did.
And were we bitter listeners or viewers?
We didn't. But that makes it fun.
Unless your fantasy league is as confusing as Jay's.
Well, ours is not as confusing as Jay's.
But
it
is fun, and that's what really matters.
No,
at the end of the day, right?
Ours is way more fun than yours.
Yours is terrible, Jay. Terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, Colleen won ours, so ours can't be that good either.
I won both. Wait, I won all three.
But
you got the trifecta?
I got the Jane Jack patrons group one. I got the one between the three of us, and I got the one on the tribe. So you all need to bow down to the queen, biatches.
That was exciting as Michelle winning. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I saw Colleen's winner's edit. but my point being said is like, I think this season is way front loaded as far as like exciting. And we got a lot of like people who we thought would be big players going out early. And then I think that like the final two episodes of this season are real big clunkers with the Joe edit or the Joe evacuation episode might be the most weird and boring episode of Survivor.
Tim, you know what would have made that episode better? If they had shown the secret scene of Agent Joe in the bathtub.
It's true.
Oh, with the non-blurred issue? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm just saying where he came out with
No, not Sydney's.
Sydney's.
I thought you were advocating.
I'm not advocating what they did to her, which was horrible and disgusting.
But yeah, so we get Joe's evac, and then we go into a finale where we're going from 4 to 3 people in 2 hours. And it's like, if it would have been even a final two, I think maybe it would have been more exciting, at least on the rewatch. But then, you know,
it went from 8 to 7. What are you talking about?
it's just like, then we get like this weird twist, and it's like, okay, we got all these weird evacs, and now let's add this jury. You're going to vote somebody off the jury. And again, I'm not a fan of that. I don't want to see it again. I don't think it's that exciting to watch.
Yes.
I mean, it's like one and done. Let's not see this one again, yes. Please.
Let's talk about.
But I don't blame them for trying it, though. I also don't want them to ever try and be innovative.
Sure.
And try
they
new
tried
things.
Redemption Island.
Did they put that in there? Let me ask the historians. Did they put that in there knowing that Michelle might win this, and they're hoping that Aubrey would win, and she would get one of like maybe Scott out of there or Julia? Maybe they put that in the last second. We got to save this season.
I don't necessarily think so, because I don't think that they wanted to have a jury of eight.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, even though it's not going to necessarily be so even anyway, because it's a final three,
ooh,
but...
Ooh. Finish your thought, and then Horseshack. I want to go next.
Horseshack.
Ooh, Piscata. Piscata.
No, I just, Piscata. I'm raising my hand to go next after Jay is done.
On an audio show, it's great. Perfect.
Well, you can see me, and you're the producer. Please continue, Bay.
I'm done.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So
all that and he was done. All of that and he was done. That was the
okay. Pick me. My turn.
Go ahead. Go.
Okay. So tiebreaker, right? How?
Tie.
Yes. Exactly. I feel like if they had the four, if they potentially could have had a 4-4 split and then tie.
Yeah, tie becomes yeah.
Was the
tiebreaker?
I feel like that
tie
would have
the
been
the tiebreaker.
Yes, I think that actually. Well, internet memes aside, which have got would have gotten really old really quickly.
He writes down both names.
No,
I want to use my double vote.
No, but come on. If they had the 4-4 like tie that they and Ty was the tiebreaker, I feel like that would have been more exciting twist in the game.
Agreed.
Than removing a jury member. Agreed. Do you guys, other guys agree?
Agree 100%.
If Ty was a tiebreaker, like in any capacity, so that we could keep calling him a tiebreaker, then yes, that would be better than anything ever.
He votes for Mark the Chicken.
I'm interested to know, I mean, because we talk about these new frontiers that Survivor tries to hit in certain things. The first time this. And, you know, what was it? Was it the previous season where we had people play idols, so literally, like, no votes were actually valid at some point?
Yes,
like,
that was
people
final
were,
six and
people
Cambodia.
Were waiting for that. Since they introduced the fact that we're going to have, like, 16 hidden immunity idols on a season, you know, everyone was like, yay, you know, at some point, people are going to play hidden immunity idols and, like, no votes are going to count. And
yeah,
then
hashtag happened. It already happened on Paul Survivor, so whatevs.
Well, fun. But, yay, Montana. But, you know.
That sounds sarcastic to me.
One of our co-hosts,
I learned
Paul.
That Montana is a state. So anyway,
okay. Yeah, we don't have to.
Was the best
it.
Day of your life?
Oh yeah, you know it. But
oh god,
you know Jeff has said for years. Because here's the thing: we've had many seasons where there was a final three and there was a jury of nine. And so, if you're looking at the demographics there, it seems on paper at least very easy for there to be like a 3-3-3 split.
Yeah.
Amongst there, and you know they've talked about it, and Jeff has hinted. He's like, we've got a contingency plan in case there's a 3-way split. In a thing, and you know, we all did one on his, and it's like, I just was sitting there going, kill me, please don't ever let that happen. And you know, people want to see that happen, but I think that they sort of deftly sidestepped it this time because they had eight, they went down to seven, and it's, I mean, I know that, you know, let's say three people vote for Aubrey and three people vote for Michelle, and the one person votes for Ty, that person usually then would have to revote. So I guess it's, if you have a jury of seven and a final three, you're probably not going to end with some sort of even split, which is nice. And that's sort of the deal. That's why the old Survivor rules are really good. A final two and a jury of seven. Like, there's just no possible way it's going to end up in a tie.
Right. Well, why wouldn't they just, if they were worried about a tie in this season, why not just go to a final two, other than the fact that Probst is on record saying that he likes a final three better?
Because reasons.
All right.
Because I mean, you have to...
It's tough because I've literally spent several minutes on this podcast talking about, oh, there's no criteria for a jury vote, and there's no criteria for this, and then I'm going to talk about integrity of the game. But I don't know. It's tough for me because in my head, it's kind of like, okay, we start out with 16 to 20 people, and we vote them out one by one by one by one by one by one. And to me, it's like the whole point of the game then is that you get down to two people, and yeah, you vote for one to win, but ultimately what you're doing is you're, in a sense, voting out that last person. And so I sort of like the idea that, you know, you're just voting one person out each time you go to tribal council, and then you go to a final three, and I'm like, you're not voting one person out. You're essentially voting two people out at one time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've never enjoyed that. And the problem is that the game adjusts, you know, because they got into this thing where all of these really, really fan favorite slash good slash deserving quote unquote players were going out at three. Like Cesternino went out at three, Kathy went out at three, all these awesome people go out at three. So they were like, well, if we have a final three, that's cool. But then they go out at four.
And right.
It's like,
how many times has the third person on the not gotten any votes?
A whole lot. Okay. Let's try to think. I'm not stumped, Paul. You keep talking. I'll try to work it out in my head.
I'm just saying, what's the point of having that third person? That third person is just the hanger on that they just dragged on there too.
I think it changes your strategy. I get what
Yeah.
It does. It's just you're playing, you know, you're trying to manage two people that will take you to the end versus
And I will
one.
Say that I will say that, you know, switching up the dynamics from 16 to 20 people or from two tribes to start to three tribes to start or final two to a final three, changing dynamics like that every couple of seasons, I think is all right just to keep people on their toes. Because if you keep the game static, then everyone
I love the three tribe format, but that's just me.
I think it needs to be switched now because I think that people are starting to game it.
We've done it too much, yeah.
And then you go, you know, but that's just me.
Go four tribes.
No, God, no. There's nowhere to hide in four tribes. You're voting. You have to have a tribal swap after, like, the second tribal council.
I mean, you could do four tribes and maybe, like, I don't know, segregate them by ethnicity.
Yeah, that'd be great. Survivor, separate but equal.
Well, didn't they do
Survivor
that already?
Cook yes. Island.
Yeah, yeah they she's did.
She's referencing Cook Island.
Jay has never seen it.
I've never seen that season. So
it's the racist season.
I'm not a racist.
you mean you're not like the people in our neighborhood on Nextdoor.com?
That's Parvati's season.
Yeah, that's her first season. We got to watch it, Jay. Your girl's on that season.
There you go, Jay.
There's my hashtag, Bay.
Oh, if only that was original, because nobody else has Parvati as their hashtag bae.
I'm just saying.
I'm on Team Cass, so F Parvati.
Ugh.
I know, Jay hates Cass. I love me some Cass.
That was a very, like, visceral reaction.
Talk about a bad hole. But anyway.
Like, Cass, come on. Ugh. The worst.
I mean,
she won because she played a great social game.
Can we talk about the real, like, the absolute worst part of this whole finale?
Sia? Was
Sia in the reunion show.
I love Sia, though. I'm a big
Jay
Sia
does.
Fan.
Jay loves some Sia. He does. He plays her CD sometimes. We played Jim Rummy when we had no internet for that 5 days, and we listened to a lot of Sia while playing Jim Rummy.
Her music is my spirit animal for when I want to feel empowered.
Is it a chicken? Is your spirit animal a chicken?
No, it's just she sings for my soul.
I
throw this out there. I put it on our podcast, and Jay and Colleen both disagreed with me. Ask you guys, why don't they just have the reunion and announce the following week, 2-hour show? People are gonna tune in.
No.
At least you'd have more time to talk to people.
I don't think they would.
Or have just. Because it's this was like
Jack,
like,
you
with
just
commercials.
Totally
it was like 15 minutes long.
Yeah, there was
the
like
the reunion show. You speak when Rosie O'Donnell used to do the reunion show.
Oh my god!
It was a lot of fun.
Okay, guys, this is we need Survivor podcast. Baby boomers versus millennials versus Gen X.
wait! Can we please go back to Rosie O'Donnell? Are you saying that you preferred when she was the host?
She did it once.
Twice, I think.
Okay. It was better. Brian Gumbel was terrible.
It was Brian Gumbel. Or was it Greg Gumbel? Terrible. It was one of the Gumbels.
Why don't you ask the historian?
Here's our winner. But anyway, I don't know. I've had enough of Jeff on the island.
He's Jeff is a little too spastic. He's manic. Yeah. He's manic on these reunion shows.
But I mean,
and his hair gets ridiculous and just kind of like,
yes,
there's something about Mary.
Rosie was a super fan. She got into it. She was excited. She
Well, my God, we should have Sia host it next year.
Rosie O'Donnell sang the Gilligan's Island theme song at the reunion show for some reason. Like, okay.
It's an island.
And by the way, by the way.
And I guess, okay, who gets of the seven, who would you vote for? Because Gilligan is probably the most popular.
Oh, you don't take Gilligan right? to the end.
Yeah, you cut him out at four.
Do you take Thurston Howell because he's already rich and they're not going to give him the money?
Well, I think what ends up happening is you like end up taking Marianne to the end, but she's gotten the winner's edit the whole time. and they end up voting for her.
She makes those great cream pies, so she wins automatically.
We were going to try to keep this PG-13.
Oh, Lord. All right, so let's get back to the topic here. Reunion show.
Someone had to go that way.
That's what she said.
It's been a derailed disaster for a while now.
No,
what's next?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Our Survivor historian, Jay Fisher, the Jay that matters, what do you think?
Oh, Jay hates the reunion shows.
Yeah, I mean, even it doesn't matter who hosts them. I'm pretty sure Jay doesn't like them.
So what would you rather have, Jay? Did we lose him?
Jay left.
Oh, no, I'm here. Sorry. Oh, okay. I was muted. Oh. I was doing math over here, guys.
He's trying to figure out who else has gotten zero votes.
That's where we went this season.
You were trying to figure out what cast away from Gilligan's Island would win? Is that what you're
Crap, that was well, like no. That was like 20 minutes ago we were talking about the math on that.
It was like two.
Howell is a pre-merge boot, but Lovey, I tell you. Lovey could go all the way.
What about, okay.
I don't know.
And she has.
Oh!
Nice. I think I have never really paid attention to a reunion show ever. So they could go. And Jeff Probst is terrible at them. And he's gotten worse ever since he tried to get a talk show and got a talk show and failed at having a talk show and now really wants his talk show back. So, yeah, and,
look, guys, I can do this. I can do this.
I actually like really used to like the reunion shows a lot and paid attention to them. And I agree with Jay there 100%. I feel like now – I feel like Jeff does not prepare for the reunion shows. I feel like earlier on –
he does. I disagree. He does. But the problem is that Jeff – I thought Jeff was great because Brian Gumbel did the first couple. Mm-hmm. And I thought that he was all right. You know, because Survivor was just this weird phenomenon when it happened the first season, the second season. But then he was getting long in the tooth because you could tell Brian Gumbel, like, did not care one iota about any of this.
Yeah.
That's great. And they did Rosie for the Marquesas finale, but that got low ratings and it's Rosie. So, and they went with Jeff. they went with Jeff with Survivor Thailand and then on. And I thought that for those next, like, five or six seasons, Jeff was really good at them. Like,
yeah.
Those reunions are very good, and it's because Jeff was invested. Like Jeff was, I am the host of Survivor. I am going to host my way through this reunion show. And then I think Jeff started getting aspirations of, you know, as we were getting into like seasons 13, 14, 15, Jeff is looking to maybe, you know, Jeff was looking to quit the show and do other things around this time. It's well known.
Right.
And things didn't work out, so he sort of stayed. And then, you know, he was getting his talk show, but then Jeff became an executive producer of Survivor. And ever since that happened, Jeff has really been trying to stamp his narrative on all of the seasons, which is why we get this big moves make big things. And it's, you know, Jeff has sort of driven that narrative and he's sort of nailed it in his head and it's semi-successful and sometimes it isn't successful. But the problem is that when Jeff gets on the reunion now, Jeff is leading a narrative that Jeff wants. And so, and he's the executive producer. No one's going to tell him he can't do it. So Jeff has ruined these reunions because it's not about the contestants anymore. They don't check in with everyone. Hey, how are you doing? How have you been? How's fame treating you or your Survivor fame treating you? Like, they don't talk to anybody at these reunions. They didn't even talk to Sydney, for crying out loud. She finished fourth.
And they talked to her mom.
They talked to her mom, but not her. And you know, it's all just become a joke. There was that, what was it? Was it the Karamoan finale where, like, they talked to Blossom for 5 minutes?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Who cares? But,
well,
you know, this
Karamoan did kind of suck.
It did suck, but it, you know, and they didn't bring the pre-merge on the stage, which is fine. I mean, I get it. You put like 18, 20 people out there, it then becomes this cattle call of, hey, are you still alive? But, good. Thumbs up. Next person. Are you still alive? But, good. Thumbs up. But like they literally just don't talk to anybody anymore. Like they talk to like four people and then they just have all this crap. And it's like, why are we wasting this hour?
Right, and the real, like, terrible thing was, like, Jeff then, like, you know, the Sia thing happens, which, is it staged or not? I don't think it was staged. But then, like, the rest of the show, Jeff is, like, even more thrown off, and he's like, oh, there's just this wonderful Sia moment. Like, you know, he kept referring to it as the Sia moment, and it's like, yeah, I don't want to remember this. Stop referencing it. Like, it was a really weird reunion because Jeff's inner monologue was outside of him the whole time. Like, from the very start of the finale, he's introducing like, oh, we're here, we're live. He's like, and they're playing weird music, but I love it. And it's like, why are you commenting on the music being weird? And
so it's like, just Jeff high on some kind of crazy drug.
No, he's thinking about Twitter. Like, I think Jeff thinks a lot about Twitter, and that's his man on the street. You know, he talks to men on the street all the time. I think Twitter's become that because we see at Jeff Probst as the Chirons now. But also then we go from like Sia. It's like, okay, now we got to do Drew Carey because heaven forbid we not promote The Price is Right. And we get Drew Carey, who clearly is another Survivor super fan, who's just like, you know, Drew Carey, the host of like the improv comedy show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? And it's like, Drew Carey, like, make a joke or do like, this is the most awkward because Jeff's like, oh man, maybe I should have thrown the commercial before I came to you, Jeff. And why am I saying this right now?
It's a good call out. That's a very good call out.
You know what, Tim, it's funny that you bring all that up because honestly, like, I kind of half watch now when it finally gets to the reunion show. So I like didn't even really remember that. But yeah, it was kind of insane. Like, who knows what's going on? But I agree that like maybe Jeff is like on another planet once we get to the reunion show. But it is really weird to me to think back that it didn't used to be him. And that's just even weirder, right? Like having somebody other than Jeff Probst host the reunion, that's so strange. So it's good that he's there, whatever. Maybe he was, I don't know, like everyone was saying that when he was on The Price is Right, it seemed like he was high, so maybe he was. Oh,
his career didn't go where he wanted it, and now he's just high all the time.
He seemed out of place over there on the Price is Right.
Do we want to talk about Price is Right?
Well, we did want to talk about it, but I just before we move on from that, maybe we can have a new finale, a reunion host, I think, be great for it, Parvati. I think Parvati would be great.
I agree 100%.
Parvati is just an okay host. She used to host the Survivor Live, which was a CBS-like web show.
What about Rob? He has all those podcasts.
He's got his own empire.
Rob has a reunion show.
Rob has a reunion show. There you go.
I think before we get out of the reunion, the last thing we do need to talk about is season 33.
Yeah. Millennials versus Gen X.
Versus millennials. And
on the old people.
And it's Survivor, we need a premise in our title because we've already been to Fiji once and we all remember how that happened and what happened there. Hey, Jay, do you think they're going to do a car challenge, bring that back for this season?
Dude, you shut your mouth. I love Survivor Fiji.
I love Survivor Fiji too, but I don't think the show loves Survivor Fiji. I don't think
it
Jeff
really
loves-
doesn't, which is a shame. And everybody, shameless plug, we've done Survivor Fiji on the Survivor Historians, and we loved it. Check it out. Just to answer this, just before we get to Millennials versus Gen X, by my count in my head, I believe there have been 17 seasons that have had a final three.
Okay. Uh huh.
And in my head, I can think of four where each of the three people got a vote.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So it's an overwhelming majority of the times that
Only someone gets no votes. Yeah.
Also, I believe out of all of the well, maybe that's not true. I mean, there's got to be like three or four. The unanimous votes all come from three people, final juries, right? I mean, we have
how quickly we forget JT stomping Stephen.
Oh,
Fisher,
sorry. Yes. Zero. Okay. I bet.
Never forget. I'm with you.
Leave Stephen alone.
Leave Stephen alone.
Leave him alone.
All right. So
I hope Stephen's not listening. He's probably crying right now.
Well, no. JT's gonna be upset at me. Hopefully, he writes me a letter. And
that's right. JT. What I'm excited about mostly about the premise. I mean, the premise I could take or leave. I mean, I guess you guys can get excited about it. It's just to me, it's Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. It's Survivor. We're still grasping at straws. But what I like about it is
totally great.
We're doing the switch up, like I said. Like, it is going to be two tribes of 10. That's what I do know. And so we're going to start with the two big tribes, which, you know, you could talk about, I like the three tribe format, but I liked it because I felt like the two tribe format was getting stale. People were figuring out how to game that. And it's like now we've had a bunch of seasons where it started with three or four or something weird, or, you know, blood versus water sort of stuff and things that were weird going in there. And now we're going back to two tribes of 10. And people are going to have to figure that game out again.
Yeah.
Can I just say that I to me, the whole millennial versus Gen X or baby boomers, there's a really good article on the New York Times, Corporate America Chases the Mythical Millennial, where it kind of breaks down that it's not so much that the millennials are these weird generations. It's just that's any new generation. There's going to be new things and differences that happen based upon people born in certain time periods. But just because there's this 20-year stretch of time does not mean that every single one of those people within the 20 years behave in a certain way.
I just want to point out that I feel like I actually have said this somewhere, that I was born in 1984. Your sister and my sister were born in 1989. I truly feel like they are in a totally different generation than I am in.
But that's just it. So that's where it's like the whole millennial.
But we are all considered millennials.
That's my problem with the whole generational thing. I think it's stupid to begin with. But are there people that kind of line up with, you know, what people, the stereotypical millennial? Sure. But that's just, but this people, baby boomers thought the same thing about Gen Xers. And the greatest generation thought the same, the silent generation thought the same thing about the boomers, yeah, probably.
Do you guys think that the working title for this season was Survivor?
Olds versus news?
No, beach people versus shelter people.
Olds versus news was Survivor Nick.
Yeah,
and
I was
going to
say they already
the
did that.
I got to say, you know, Survivor is what, 16 years old. So if we go back to the early seasons, the Gen Xers are the people who are the lazy people around.
Right?
That,
you know? Exactly.
And
hence,
you know,
my
we've
joke
seen
about
season.
Beach people versus the lazy shelter people.
Win. Yeah, and
depends.
So
no,
it depends. I would say
except,
it depends.
Except for Mike,
I don't think Tom Westman was lazy.
It totally depends on the season.
It depends
on the
season.
Majority of people are doing.
Yeah. I've said that many times. That's exactly right, Shandy. It's if you're on a tribe and most of the people are getting up and working, then you better get up and work. Or if you're on a tribe where everyone wants to sit around and, you know, do yoga and relax or do that thing where they like sit in the ocean, then you better do that, you know, because that's where people are bonding, right? And it's
they're just fitting in, yeah.
Yeah. And it becomes, you know, it becomes an issue if you're one or the other. And then, you know, that was always a thing in early seasons, was you get people going like, I can't believe these people are so lazy. Or, you know, then they get the, I can't believe that this person just wants to, you know, work all the time.
Tell me what to do. Stop
what
telling
a jerk.
Me what to do.
Wait.
I think Tim brings up a good point, though, where Survivor might be the greatest case study to show that the generations, as time goes on, they always think whatever the new young generation is lazy and doesn't work hard and all those kinds of things.
Well, they don't.
What do you mean sit in the ocean? Like Darnell was sitting in the ocean.
And he got voted out.
A new definition for cake
poop,
by the ocean.
Poop to get, poop
oh,
together
I already dialogue. Made that joke.
How
dude.
Did you make that joke?
Oh, my God. Tim, did I make that poop by the ocean joke?
I don't know. I cut it out.
No, you didn't cut it out. I made up a song between the tribe once, Poop by the Ocean, and Tim was like, I have no idea what song that is.
What I like about this season coming up
is his is Poop by his Pillow. That's totally
it gives the older people
more people to choose from that they could probably be in an alliance with because they could relate probably better with. Because usually as the old people, what do you get? We had Debbie and Joe were the two old people in this one. And you know, Joe's like going, what am I doing here? What am I doing? I need to get
Who
Debbie
am I? Out. Why am I here?
Right. And Debbie's a full generation younger than Joe.
Yeah. So it's just like, I just gives the older people and me being one, it gives you more to choose from. Even though you have to, in order to win, it's going to be the older person or the younger person who relates better with each other.
Are you hearkening back for Survivor Thailand? You need some more chewy gone in your life?
I'm stuttering now. I can't stop trying to think Poop on My Pillow, a song.
Poop like, on My Pillow.
Poop tears on My pillow.
No, it's just... Poop by his pillow.
In my eyes, all about you. I know that was awful.
But it looks like there's good characters, and I think it'll be a fun season, regardless of the stupid.
They had a giant
stupid premise will be gone in 3 to 4 episodes.
Oh, God, yes.
They'll
I hope so.
Swap, and it won't matter.
Right. Yeah.
Agreed.
I don't know. I find the term millennial offensive to me.
I just want you to...
But then I think about like people our age, Shandy, who are, I mean, I
well, really,
Jay,
they consider
Shandy and
us...
I are the only millennials on this podcast, correct? Because it's 80,
I don't know how old everyone is.
82 and older. 82 and
is Tim that old?
Tim, you're 81, right? No, we've already established it. Tim, you were born 81?
Yes.
And Jay Fisher?
You missed the cutoff?
Yes.
What year were you born?
81.
Okay, that's what I thought. So it's 3 against 3. So this podcast is technically, I guess though, Jack, are you a baby boomer or a millennial?
No, he's a
Gen
Xer.
Or Gen Xer, rather.
I never know.
He's on the beginnings of the Gen Xers.
He was like in the flapper generation, right? Where the Charlestons.
I was in the greatest generation, but I went really under the radar.
Oh. No. But like, I don't know. I feel like, okay, yes, there are some people my age that totally expect like they're entitled and they have all those stereotypical traits or whatever. But I don't know. I don't like being lumped in with those
there's
people.
There's a great, it's called the Oregon Trail generation. So we're the generation that, you
How
know.
How many generations are there? My God.
No, it's just all the names.
There's Star Trek generations.
We're like the in-betweeners. I mean, like, I guess I think it makes more of a difference when you're like looking at like, okay, so like you and me, Colleen, like we're millennials. I embrace it. You do not. That's okay. But
well, I guess
it's true
I
that-
will. But I feel like I didn't have the internet growing up until I was like, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, whatever it was.
Oh, man, I didn't have the internet either when I was
I know, you didn't have the internet until you were like 30, I know.
We didn't 30. Have the internet until I was already retired.
No, I think it was, how late, Jay, you were like 15 when we got it.
I don't know if it was that old, but we got so, like 97, 98, I think 98. 98 or so 99 is when we got it.
Jay, when did you get carpal tunnel?
This was dial-up. You can, there's...
Oh my God, dial up.
Delayed gratification. Yeah, I remember that.
This is so cool. I got on the internet.
The scrambled porn channel was at a better buffer rate than the.
Used to watch that with Taffy, right?
No. I wouldn't want to watch that with Taffy. Anyway,
we had so much feedback that people submitted. I will direct you to our Facebook pages. I'm really, really sorry that we didn't get to it. But we had some great stuff.
Well, no, we got to get the prices right. Does anybody want to talk about anything more about this generational thing? Are we all good? Yeah.
I mean, whatever. It's a whatever theme. It's like, it'll be fine. Just like Tim said, like, it'll be a thing for a couple of episodes and they'll be asking a lot of leading questions about like, well, as a millennial, how do you identify with it? You know, do you like whatever? They'll like make them say some stuff about
yeah.
being it's, in whichever generation, and then
old people
smell. on like episode 3, on like episode 4, they'll do some sort of tribe swap, and
then
it'll be forgotten.
I don't think it matters what generation you are to notice that.
The fact of the matter is, Survivor's just scraping at the bottom of the barrel as far as premises. You know, it's like they're like, okay, generations. No, let's do this. Okay, what's going to be the next season? I don't know. Winners versus not winners. I don't know. Turtles versus chickens. You know,
I agree with that. All they have to do is get people that want to play and win the game. and it'll be successful. With those middle years where they were just getting the pretty people and the people who just won their 15 minutes of fame, it really suffered.
Just do it. Just do it Super Bowl style and just put a Roman numeral for the season. And
exactly.
That's
you there
need.
You go.
All right. To wrap up this season before we start Price is Right, we'll go in order. We can go in age order. Everybody figure that out real quick. Jay, that means you go last.
Okay. So I youngest
Jack,
last.
You go first.
Okay. I should go first because I'd probably forget.
And I want you to rate this season 1 to 10. Or letter grade. Jay Fisher.
Oh, you got to do it. You got to do it.
Okay, we'll do letter grade. So A+ through F minus.
Okay.
Jack, you're first.
I'd give it a 10 because we're still talking about it.
It's a letter grade.
Oh, letter grade?
Yeah.
Christ.
Well, that's an A.
A being the highest?
A+ being
so you
highest.
Like that season that much what, that you want to
A+ doesn't exist.
Jack, when did you go to school? Like, when was A never the highest?
We used to get, you used to get the check marks.
Oh.
Seriously?
Seriously, I mean, I can show you report cards where it just, there was check
marks. So you had check there, plus, right? check minus?
Yeah, it
was. He was here, the... check.
It was, there was one schoolhouse, and you went to eat it. I'll say it's an A because we're still talking about it, even though I disagree with the winner.
That's why I didn't get the A+.
A+ because it, you know, it was fun to the end. I had no problem with the show.
Okay, wait, but if Aubrey had won, and we weren't still talking about it, then
millennial.
Does it still get an A?
Millennial, you're jumping the line.
I'm entitled to jump the line.
Would it still get an A? Probably because I thought a fascinating season. I didn't know who was going to win. I didn't watch the edit. I didn't see that. There was someone on Survivor Sucks that predicted after the first episode, they said Michelle's going to win because she's boring and there's no reason to show her.
We should clarify that Jack went to Sucks at the end of the season because he couldn't let it go.
No, I just wanted to see what the people were predicting, and a lot of them did predict it and that she was going to win because of the edit.
Okay, it's either Tim or Jay. Tim is March, Jay is February, so that makes you, Jay, you're first?
Me?
You're February 81, aren't you?
Okay, yeah.
So you're next.
C.
Okay. Not a C+?
C.
Okay. Do you have any reasons? I feel like I'm being trolled.
No. It's a C. It was a season of Survivor for me. I didn't think it was particularly good. I didn't think it was particularly terrible either. I have a hard time with seasons that have three medevacs in them. Mm. I mean,
so this one,
only one.
This one, I have a hard time with it. Like there were some things I liked. I mean, I liked Aubrey. I liked a lot of the characters. I mean, Aubrey's
who's eating chips. But just who's eating chips right now?
Jolly Ranchers.
So it's been you this whole damn time.
I said
who was having candy wrappers.
I knew that from the second that you asked, I knew it was Jack.
That's my first time I just brought him out.
Bull crap. I've been hearing a rapper this whole time.
Yo, this is a PG-13 podcast.
I said crap, then say the other one.
That's how I relate to younger people.
Oh my God. Mute your mic if you're going to eat a Jolly Rancher.
Kids, how about some candy? Would that look well on TV?
No.
Yeah, okay. But Jack, you're not eating Werther's Originals.
I don't like them.
Okay, Jay, in the comments.
Again, just to finish up, this season had three medevacs. That's ridiculous. And
hey,
I like people like Aubrey. Aubrey's definitely playing again. And you know, there were some good moments, but I don't know. It was a season of Survivor to me, and I'm that's about it. So let's see.
Who would you like to see back?
Who would I like to see back? Aubrey.
Anybody else?
No.
Jack, anybody you'd like to see back?
I'd take Sydney back.
Yeah, okay.
Sydney back, Aubrey.
Was Jay's grade
I think it was a C. He's notorious
Neil,
for that.
I think Neil deserves another shot.
No, hold on. Hold on. Is actually the grade a C?
Jay is trying to air five me right now, and I am not giving
it
to him.
Can we edit out that joke?
It was man, it was so good.
Joe gets a D.
Do you feel...
Oh, you're being generous there, Tim.
Do you feel like you deserve the air five?
Well, millennials can't get Fs. You can't fail on millennials.
Everybody gets participation trophies, even
though
Joe,
they had
Neil,
those with Gen
Caleb.
Xers, too, so it's kind of... kind of
actually, Caleb's gonna probably going to come back, so he actually literally does get a participation trophy.
Caleb will come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was we'll told tie. So by okay. the TV.
All right.
All right, Tim. Timmy Tim.
Yes. Yeah, not to copy Jay, but I was going to say C also because
– top raiders.
I think that this season had some high highs, but also very low lows, and including what I think the worst episode of the show ever. For all of that, yeah, the medevacs are rough and not fun. And really, I mean, like out of the medevacs, though, the characters that were medevac, two of the three I didn't really care about. Like, honestly, I could have seen more Caleb or Beast Mode Cowboy, and we're going to see more of him. So, whoop-de-doo, he's a pre-merge boot, probably. But
speak for yourself. I loved every minute of Agent Joe.
But I got to say, the most memorable and exciting moment of the entire season came from that time when I met Ty. So, yeah.
Which was a week before I met Ruth Bader Ginsburg, so suck it.
Well, I actually talked to Ty and like shook his hand and had a conversation. So
I shook her hand.
With who? Yeah?
Yeah.
Supreme Court Justice Ty. I don't know, it's pretty close.
So yeah, C here.
All right, I'm next. I would give it a B, just because I really thought that the storytelling in general was pretty good. I don't think that I could say A because I feel like some of the seasons that are A's, like that I've just enjoyed watching like gleefully. Like I watched Kageyan every week with Tony. Like I was so gleeful during that whole season. I didn't have that this season, but I loved all the characters and they actually made me want to watch it and like be like, all right, Survivor's on tonight. I can't wait. So I would say a B or a B minus, but I'll be generous and say a B because again, the medevacs, other than Joe, who we did get to see until the very end, so I can't really complain too much about that, right? Like, we saw him until the penultimate episode. Neil and Beast Mode Cowboy. Like, I was cool with that. It wasn't like we lost Sydney to a medevac or somebody that I would have been really disappointed. And I probably would have been disappointed if we had lost Scott or Jason to a medevac just because I wanted to see what they could have possibly done TV-wise. So, I don't know.
Debbie was fun.
Debbie was fun.
To make fun of.
We'll probably see Debbie again. There's a lot of people that we're naming here that could come back from this season.
Debbie has said she doesn't want to go back.
She's playing hard to get.
Which Debbie is that? Because I saw Debbie and said she wanted to come back. And I'd definitely come back and play again. After I do another job. After I go to the moon.
All right, Shandy, what do you think?
I'm going to say B+ because I hate grading things, and
you're a teacher.
She's a teacher.
Well, I can grade the things that I'm like a subject matter expert in, but I don't like to rank Survivor seasons. But I'll give it a B+ because I really liked the season. I thought it was a lot of fun. It had an excellent cast in spite of Scott and Jason. Like we were saying, there's a lot of people that I wouldn't mind seeing again. So just really strong cast, really amazing Final Four. Doesn't get an A because of all the medevacs, but overall, I really liked it.
I have to...
Wait, who do you want to see back, Shandy?
I mean, like, I'm not, like, I'm never, like, itching really to see people back. Like, I like seasons with new players. But that being said, I wouldn't mind seeing Aubrey, Sydney, Ty, Debbie, maybe even Neil. I don't know.
Jason.
God, no. there's a lot of people. I'm trying to think. Even like some of the people that got robbed in the pre-merge, like Darnell, I would love to see back. If they ever do like another season where they bring back the first boots. I think there's a lot of... It was a really strong cast. It was good.
That's where I have to agree with you, Shandy. I give it a B+ just based on the cast. Like we're sitting here talking about all these people that come back from this season into other seasons, or we think might come back whether you like them or not. And I think that shows that this was a really character strong season. Was it the best strategy ever seen? No. Did the person that we saw play best game win? No. There's a lot of medevacs that disrupted the game. But from just a character standpoint, how many times have you gotten a new character season where like that many people you were really engaged in for better or worse, week in and week out? It was a embarrassment of riches on the character front. So that's why I think we're in the 88% B on that.
Yeah.
What who do you want to see back?
The poverty. No, Ty. I think I don't know about Aubrey, but Aubrey maybe. Debbie, like, come on, you can't. I mean, just Debbie's just so much fun to watch. Generally, I'm not for the people who are just kind of like playing the loopy hashtag card or whatever.
Playing for the hashtag.
Yeah, but gosh, she was just so much fun to watch. And I'd like to see Caleb back. But Ty and Caleb have to be on the same track.
You gotta call him Beast Mode Cowboy, because every time somebody refers to him as Caleb, I think of Caleb Bankston, who is no longer with us, and I get very confused.
Oh. But he's dead, so you shouldn't be confused anymore, right?
Yeah, but I feel like you guys are idiots, and I'm like, why do you keep suggesting him?
Okay.
Just saying.
But anyway, I bet there's even beyond that, there's a lot of people. Sydney, I'd love to see back. So anyway, B+ is what I think.
Cool. Well.
All right, and then last thoughts here on people that actually watched the Price is Right with Survivors. Was it fun or stupid?
Probably stupid.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Coming from the man that gave this season an A+.
Yeah, but I watched it last night because I was told to watch it because we were going to talk about it. And
Blue Bloods instead. I'm sorry.
So I watched it, and what I noticed that Wu cost someone, he cost himself $1 million, and he cost someone a car. And Boston Rob said, look, you never want to make a mistake on TV. You don't want to look like an idiot. He tells them to pick the TV as the most expensive thing, and it was the third lowest. So that's what I got out of this thing of Survivor. And the people that were getting their Survivors were way too happy to see the Survivors. So,
well, you got to be that excited if you're going to be on The Price is Right. I watched this as well. I think Jack and I are the only ones to have watched this. And it would, you know, if you're an old school Survivor fan, it was cool to like catch up and see all the all-stars. And it was the really interesting part was they had like this pen of where Survivor contestants were. And it was like they were calling the Survivor contestants. But clearly it was all rigged because all of the popular people were up there. A lot of like season 31 people got up as well. You know, like Kelly Wentworth and
Joe got picked.
Joey Amazing, of course.
Wow, I didn't see that coming.
How did he get picked?
Yeah, exactly. He was one of the first ones. Him and Boston Rob and Cerie Fields.
I like her. She got picked.
She's an excellent Survivor player.
She's a legend.
Yeah, if you have a diaper rash, she's the one to have you look at it.
And Jeff Tuff killing the snuffing out the torch, that the wheel has spoken. So that was exciting.
Yeah.
He did some exciting TV.
And Jeff was very excited to be there. And,
did he have like coke eyes going on? Just like,
I said this before. I think that like the lights at The Price is Right don't do Jeff's plastic surgery any favors.
What we needed was Jeff describing the wheel spinning. It's at 90. It's at 95. It's at 5. It's 5.
You're gonna have to dig.
Yeah. You gotta spin it harder than that. So, anything.
Stand, woman.
How much is that worth? How much is that worth? What do you think it's worth? Come on, man. Make up your price. So that would have been more exciting for Jeff if he could do that.
Bid, woman.
Oh, you just copied mine. Spin, woman. But I guess that's Wheel of Fortune, huh? You know, I've never seen a full episode of The Price is Right ever in my life.
What? How really? Old are you?
I'm a millennial.
Well, okay, here's the thing. So when she had sick days, she wasn't allowed to watch TV.
I wasn't, because it was my parents' way of teaching me, like, you better not be pretending to be sick. If you're staying home sick, you're not going to...
But I have 106 temperature. You're not watching The Price is Right.
I wasn't my son.
I feel like...
my temperatures were normal people.
I feel like The Price is Right is like a rite of passage of your staying home from sick from school.
That's the only time I've ever watched it.
Because it's Bob Ross and Price is Right. Like, that's like your...
Bob Ross is Jay Fisher's jam.
Who isn't Bob, it, or,
Who's Bob Ross?
The painter, the Afro painter.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Hey, Jay, I'm meet yourself.
He painted afros. How dare you, sir? Bob Ross is a saint among men and women.
Well, he's technically a saint because he's dead, so if he would be.
What? Spoiler alert.
He died like 20 years ago.
He died in 1994.
Oh, thanks. How am I going to sleep tonight?
He died a generation ago.
I didn't even send a condolence card to him.
No. Oh, that actually, one of my acting students this year, because, you know, they all know that I'm a big Bob Ross fan and stuff like that. And I made a Bob Ross joke and they laughed. And someone was like, I said something like, oh, well, you know, we can't speak ill of the dead. And one of my students just goes, oh, my God, he died when?
Because they've still been airing those episodes like he hasn't ever died. Yeah. So it's just...
I was like 6 years before you were born, dude. It's okay.
It's not.
Oh, my God. Oh, I had one more question for the masses to lead us out on, but I can't remember it right now, so I guess it wasn't
that means we're stopping now.
Professionalism.
Way to write it down, Colleen.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's a great kind of wrap up to this very, very average season of Survivor, based upon everybody's grades.
I gave it an A. You gave it B plus.
That's true.
It was fun to talk about. So
absolutely, and we were able to do a whole show extra than we usually do, at least in the Jay and Jack verse. So thank you to the tribe mates that came on. You guys are much better at discussing Survivor than we are, so thank you so much for coming on.
Except Tim.
I'm about on the same level as you guys.
There you go.
A little bit better.
But Jay Fisher, you bring class. Shandy, you bring class. Tim, you bring conjunctivitis.
What do I bring?
Well, thank you so much for having us on. We're always happy to talk more Survivor, and I've been kind of following the, you know, the drama with Jack over on the internet, so it was good to actually be able to talk to you about the situation.
Stated the case. It's funny, yes. It wasn't even my pick. I had Ty.
Yeah,
good pick.
In Jay's crazy rules,
it's not that crazy.
No,
even that
stupid
review, the review of what you guys said, we got to do that. I was like, that's what I do. That's what was the
no,
whole
it's
point.
Not. That's what you're retroactively saying that you do.
I clearly pointed out that you have two sets of rules.
No, he has whatever rules help him for the day. Those are Jay's rules.
I'm taking the Jeff Probst approach. I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want. I think it's going to be better.
You do have an internal monologue that you externally talk to us about while you're trying to score it, so I guess that works.
But anywho, thank you, everybody. Thank you for getting another good season of Survivor.
Fun, thank you.
And maybe we'll do some stuff over the summer. You guys try people. You don't have to come, but you're more than welcome and invited. But
so does that mean I'm not welcome? I don't have to come?
Is it Fiji that you guys love so much? Let's do Fiji.
No, we're doing China.
That's right.
We're watching China, at least.
Rest in peace, China.
I knew she died.
You did? Oh, that's good. That's good.
Well, like 2 weeks ago.
Where was more than that? Like
my little China girl.
The prince death kind of overshadowed her death, but you know.
Yeah, doesn't that suck when someone bigger than, it's like, oh, China died. Oh,
why'd
prince
you
died.
Tell that to Farrah Fawcett?
Yeah.
It's true.
Someone bigger than China.
which was technically not Prince.
Jay is looking like you don't get it because Prince was like 4 feet tall.
I know, okay. I know. But there's other ways you go with that too. Anyway,
again, go with it.
Yeah. All right, guys.
He's a millennial. His way is the one that goes.
I guess I'm the most millennial out of this group, being born in '85. All right, guys.
Oh my God, you're a millennial by 13 months. Wait, Shandy, are you February 24th?
No, yeah.
I'm good. So
millennial
Shandy
is 82. 80 to 82 is actually the.
Yeah, but you and Shandy are almost exactly a year apart, so you're not that much younger.
I know. It's a joke. It was just.
Well, it didn't come off as a joke. Okay, it came off
like
as an entitled millennial.
it was a Jay joke. You kind of have to joke. Oh, that's right. Laugh.
Hey, you got any more Jolly Rancher wrappers to unwrap over there during the whole damn show? Like
one time I did it.
The people that are listening at home, there's gonna be like this sound the whole time.
But I gotta listen to your drink, your ice drink every time. You have ice in your drink, you're swirling it all the time.
What are you talking
you
about?
Say, and you say, nobody can hear it. And what does everyone say? Yes, I can hear it.
One time. Anyway. All right. Go enjoy your Jolly Ranchers. Everybody else, thank you so much.
You got to eat.
We'll see you guys next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.
Peace out. Anybody else, feel free to chime in now.
Tribe has spoken.